I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Around Inc. Golf Club hosts the second major of the golf season.
Scottie Scheffler wins in a runaway in the showdown at Charlotte.
This is a PGA Championship Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
I just got off the golf course. Well, I don't know what you want from me.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
Play number one on this tour, chump.
And Brandon Sprague.
You smell like my stepfather.
PGA Championship Week on The Fan is brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Oh, no, not again.
Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two.
False start.
Yeah, we would have been here top of the hour. Certain update would have only been like 10 seconds.
God, shut your yapper over there, Swag.
I broke 20 seconds late.
God.
Not be punished for that.
Put a dome on it.
Put a dome on it, all right?
Yeah. Just come back to the second hour. Let's just go. We have a lot to get to here in hour number two. I want to remind you before we get it going that June 23rd, Toyota presents the Fan Golf Classic out at Langdon Farms Golf Club. The afternoon round is officially sold out.
What?
And under 10 foursomes
Uh-oh.
Available for the morning round.
Uh-oh, you better hurry up.
Look, under number 10.
Sizzler.
Great for an orgy. Under number 10 for foursomes, not so good. So jump on it now, 1051thefan.com. Click on the Fan Golf Classic logo. To sign up your foursome, we'll be hanging out at the Angels Envy Bourbon Par 3 6th hole, and we'll all be eating Matt's Barbecue. Fan Golf Classic presented by Toyota is also brought to you by Vulcan Design and Construction, Henderson & Daughter Windows and Doors, George McCoy at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law, Battery Exchange, Maestro Dobel Tequila, your neighborhood restaurant group, Philbrook Law, 1-800-DIVORCE, Roto-Rooter, Ely Gal Mezcal, Window Nation. A lot to get to here in the second hour of the program. I want to ask this question. Did you see this thing happen in baseball yesterday? And why does the entire American League sans the Yankees blow chunks?
It's really bad.
There's some really
Tampa,
good reads
like
on
Tampa's
it.
Good.
Yeah,
obviously.
The Rays are on a heater.
Yeah,
yeah, they're on a heater. Like, I don't know if that means they're good, but we'll wait and see. To be fair,
sure.
To your point,
they got a good record. Good. You have to give it to them there, but yeah.
But everybody
I was
else
chuckling
sucks
about that.
Everybody else.
The
sucks.
Twins right now are like 6 games below .500.
We have 2 teams in the playoff under .500.
And they're only 3 games out of the division.
Yeah. I mean, the Mariners
we need to abolish divisions. That might be my biggest take in sports.
Why?
They're dumb. Why should you be rewarded for being in a bad division?
In all sports?
In all sports. Get rid of them. Universal scheduling. You can have conferences. I'm okay with that. But just balance out the schedules. Get rid of divisions. Instead, we do this in the NFL all the time. Like, why? Carolina, you don't belong here. Get out.
The NBA, I get. I don't know why, but I feel weirdly protective of the NFL and Major League Baseball.
It's because it's the tradition, and it's the history, and it's the way we've always done it.
We used to care about the Pacific Division.
Yeah, I mean, you're not
wrong. And now we're in the
we used to hang division title banners.
Northwest Division.
Against Minnesota and Oklahoma City.
Yeah. Like, the fact that somebody's going to be able to win the AL Central and go to the, like, that's ludicrous.
With 85 wins
that's
or something?
That's ludicrous,
we'll
dude.
We'll get to that. We'll get to I got baseball stuff on the show.
Shoot that division into the sun.
Well,
Harris, get out of here.
Shoot the AL into the sun.
It's all of them.
You think the AL West is any good?
All of them. They all suck.
All of them are terrible. We'll get to that. I want to start the second hour. We'll pause. We'll get back into some NBA. I didn't even talk about Donovan Mitchell's heater and the 23-0 run to start the third quarter for the Cavs. I can't believe I omitted that from hour
how
one.
How could we forget that?
Well, we were taking care of real stuff. Like,
yeah.
Was Zach Collins' best moment as a Trailblazer? If you missed the poll question,
somebody said Dennis Rodman, best troll.
I don't know that he was a troll.
Superstar.
Oh, I mean, he's not a superstar. He was definitely a
Dennis
troll.
Dennis Rodman wasn't a troll.
Who's the better player, Dennis Rodman or Draymond Green?
Rodman.
Rodman.
I would tend to vote Rodman.
Rodman.
But was he a troll or was he just crazy?
He married himself.
Well,
he
I
did.
Understand that. But there's a difference.
He trolled everybody. He said he got married. He married himself.
He just loves himself, man.
Has anybody trolled harder than that?
Let him love himself. Russell Westbrook got chimed in as a troll.
I can't agree with that.
No.
Why is he a troll? Because he talks crap?
Yeah, I don't...
Half the league does this.
Yeah, I mean...
Caruso and LeBron were talking crap to each other.
People saying Larry Bird talked hella ass.
Larry's a good one.
I don't feel trash-talking and trolling is
Larry
different.
Larry was just telling you, here's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I'm going to go left all night, and you ain't going to stop me.
I'm going to shoot only with my left, drop 47 on your ass, Portland, because I got
most
the Lakers
famous
coming up.
Was the year I think he went for the three-peat and the three-point shootout. He walked in and said, who's second this year?
He didn't take his warm-up off.
Take his warm-up jacket.
Is that trolling, or is that like uber confidence?
And that's just, yeah.
Yeah, like some, what else? Joel Embiid got chimed in. Like, I'd be willing to grant Joel Embiid troll status. I don't know if it's...
That's a good one, though.
Joel Embiid's the closest one, maybe, to like a superstar-level player that we found that certainly loves poking the bear.
I think of the ones named, that's the one I'd pick.
Yes.
I wouldn't say Westbrook's a troll. I wouldn't say Larry was a troll.
No.
I would definitely say Joel Embiid. Yeah, I could see why you'd think he's a troll.
Not a bad argument there.
So we talked about that in hour one. We also was saying F you ho to Klay Thompson, the best moment of Zach Collins' Blazer career. I cannot believe there's anybody that's voted no to this.
Who's voting no and why are you voting no? What's the no vote? Name me one other moment.
It's 87.7% yes.
So
who are the 14.3% of you saying no?
What's wrong with you?
You can't even name what
Gonzaga fans. Those are Gonzaga fans.
We actually, that was one of the comments we had on YouTube. Somebody said, the only thing I remember was him playing in the national championship game and scoring 11 points.
He was a backup.
Because we drafted him, what, a month later or 2 months later?
I think he was the WCC Sixth Man of the Year.
Yes, he was.
We took him 10.
We took a guy in the lottery who couldn't even start on his own college team.
There was a guy.
And then said he was a franchise cornerstone.
We traded two picks to draft
him. Is that when they had, like, Sabonis and Shemek Karnowski and that crew? I can't
No, he was before them.
Okay.
Yeah.
I lose track.
I think so.
Or after.
He was there at the same time as, what's his nuts, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Timmy. Right. Wasn't Timmy the starter on that
team? No, Timmy was later.
Timmy also played 7 years of college basketball.
I know. Eight Gonzaga
and Zach
teams.
Collins only played one.
No, I know.
They had a good starting center on the team.
It was 2018's Gonzaga team, right? Wasn't that the year Oregon went? 2018?
I want to say it was Shemek Karnowski.
Okay, maybe
I think you're right.
I'll take your word for
it. Either way, we traded two picks to draft him. One of the guys we could have drafted scored 83 points in a basketball game this year, and the other guy scored... What did he score last night? 36 or 34 in the second half?
Yeah.
39
in the second half.
All-time second half of a playoff game.
That's unbelievable.
Playoff record. One of the most random playoff records.
Who holds the record?
Eric Sleepy Floyd with the Warriors in 87 went absolutely cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs out of nowhere.
Why did they call him Sleepy?
That was at Georgetown.
He just got called Sleepy. Was it his style of play?
I can't remember if it was stylist play or like if he was constantly like falling asleep.
Just always falling asleep.
Like Trump in the Oval Office just dozing off. What's going on?
Oh, that was back in the heyday of Georgetown and John Thompson and Eric Sleepy Floyd.
I'm kind of curious why his nickname is Sleepy now.
We used to have great nicknames as a country.
We used to be such a good nickname
country. What happened
to
us, man? That used to be one of the best parts about sports was cool nicknames.
You know when he got the nickname?
And now they're gone.
He got it in fourth grade playing baseball. When a spectator yelled, "Get that kid out of the game, he's sleeping."
he sitting in left field, just sat down.
Or sitting in the dugout, maybe, conked out.
I had no idea.
Hey, wake up!
That's a great backstory.
That
for
is a big problem of fourth grade baseball, I can attest to.
As we continue the education for the new generation, go back, learn about Eric.
Everything's
Sleepy
just
Floyd.
Initials now.
I know.
You see BA? You talk to JG? You talk to DC? Yeah. You talk to YM?
I'm getting a little tired of Taylor Rooks doing that on the studio show.
Is she doing the initials thing?
Yeah. For Blake Griffin, she calls him BG, and Udonis Haslam's UH or something.
UH?
Well, usually they call him UD.
UD.
Yeah, so. UD would be the...
He went by that name mostly of his career.
That's more applicable than BG.
BG. Nobody was calling Blake Griffin BG.
Call Blake Griffin BG.
Is she calling Steve Nash SN?
No.
We've lost all our creativity, man. We're they used to be fun.
Country.
They used to be cool. You used to remember guys
by their
nicknames.
Well, that's when people started
and then...
texting and butchering the English language.
Mm. Oh, you blame texting for
it? Yes.
All that technology and stuff.
As opposed to actually being stuff creative.
Yeah, we've lost our way as a society.
Now we're chat-GPT-ing nicknames.
Yes, we are.
What's the initials?
There was a commencement speaker at a university the other day who gave a speech about AI being the next great, pillar of the economy or something.
Ooh.
And the graduating class
booed him. Yeah, you're getting
booed.
Boo. Shut up. Stuff you into a trash can. Get out of here.
Get out of here, you nerd.
Let's kick off the second hour, 10 minutes into the segment, talk a little football.
I'd love to.
There's some football stuff. We got some schedule release stuff coming out.
The drip, 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 drip.
Thursday night game. We know a Monday night game right out of the gate.
Broncos Chiefs. Yes.
We know the Bills will open their brand new stadium.
Week two.
Week two, Thursday night against the Lions. That'll
juicy
be a lot
game.
Of fun.
Juicy.
I can't wait for that. The wind is gone.
The wind is gone.
Yep.
But it's an open stadium.
It is an open stadium.
It is
stadium.
Open. It but will snow on the field, but not as much on the fans.
It will not snow as much on the field as it did back
in
the day.
No, not as much on the field, but it will be possible to still snow on the field.
Let's talk some college football. Yeah. So you pointed this out as we were leaving yesterday because I didn't have time to go through it. Lane Kiffin did a Vanity Fair article.
Why wouldn't he?
Of the most Lane Kiffin interview wheelhouses, it's Vanity Fair that gets the article. And look, there's some interesting stuff in this, but the thing that is starting to trend and be rolled out from the interview is basically in explaining why he left Ole Miss, one of the reasons is because black people don't like Oxford. And Baton Rouge sits a lot better with the grandparents and the parents of black players.
That was his argument, that they would see Confederate flags flying, and it was the name is the Rebels. That's their university name, their mascot name.
They used to be the Running Rebels.
They used to be and now they're the Rebels, and that would turn people off. And he said he does not have that problem at LSU because it's much more diverse. Now, to that point, I've never spent any time in Baton Rouge or Oxford, Mississippi, but reading up on this from people who went to school in those areas, like people will tell you that LSU is a more diverse community and a more diverse university.
Baton Rouge is 66% black, and Oxford is like 28% black. So he's not wrong on percentage
in
splits
that
of diversity.
Regard, yes.
But he has a quote in here, quote, recruits would tell him, hey, coach, we really like you, but my grandparents aren't letting me move to Oxford, Mississippi. He says, that doesn't come up when you say Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Parents were sitting here this weekend saying, this campus's diversity feels so great. It feels like there's no segregation.
It's like when you hear a politician say something that you clearly know is, you know, I talked to Steve. Now, Steve's a nurse, and I saw Steve at the diner. And Steve told me he's having a hard time paying his medical bills.
Bob, like, the gas attendant, says he loves what we're
things
doing.
Things you made up for $5,000. You know, I was talking to these recruits, and they said, their parents said, you can't come here. But now that we're at LSU, they said you could come here. And people immediately pointed out the second this thing went viral, which it certainly did because Lane Kiffin loves him some Lane Kiffin, and so he had to, you know, go do this Vanity Fair sit-down interview.
Sure.
That the reason LSU was called the Tigers is because it's honoring a Civil War infantry from the Confederate Army called the Louisiana Tigers, which is famous for its ferocious fighting spirit, and it was adopted in the late 1800s, later leading to a live tiger mascot starting in 1936. No matter where you go in the South, and anybody who's ever traveled in the South can tell you this, I've been multiple times, it's everywhere. You can't avoid it, really, no matter where you go. Now, again, I have been to Oxford. Maybe it's worse in some pockets or areas than others.
I would imagine it is.
There is a tinge of the Confederacy everywhere you go down there, and they have not, many of them, moved on. And they feel it's a way to embrace their culture and their history and their families and all that.
Or they're running for office.
Or they're running for office. And we don't need to get into that debate. But it just, I follow golf very closely. I'm overjoyed with the death of Liv. And one of the things that has stood out to me in the last week, did you see what Graham McDowell said last week? Probably not. I'll tell you. So he went to Liv. He's one of these older European guys, goes to Liv, end of his career, get a payday. He upon joining Liv, said, you know, it's going to be great. I'm going to be able to spend a lot more time with my family. I'm going to grow the game of golf internationally. And it was all the same pan-nonsense answers that they told him to say to the public. And now that Liv is dying, you know what he said last week? He was like, I got to be honest with you guys. I really regret doing that. You know why I went to Liv. I know why I went to Liv. I got a big paycheck to go to Liv. That's why I went. And that's the advice that I would give to Lane Kiffin here. Like, you were just, we all know that you're talking out your ass. We all know that this is not the reason that you left Ole Miss. It's not a top three reason, a top five reason, a top 10 reason,
top
a top
91 20. Million
it's
reason?
It's not a top 91 million reason why you left. Was there one recruit's grandparents who at one point said, why is there a Confederate flag hanging over your university? That's a little weird. Maybe that's the case. But the idea that he had to get out of Ole Miss
because of
to distance himself from racism to now I can go to, you went because it's LSU and they paid you $91 million.
I know. What are we doing?
Why would
here?
You take a steaming dump on the place that picked you up off of a trash heap and fixed your image and put you in a position, took a roll of the dice on you to be able to go get the LSU job? It just is the absolute shadiest of shady behavior, and that's ultimately who Lane Kiffin is.
I mean, if he did anything in this article, he basically guaranteed that when they go to Ole Miss this week in week three.
Oh, my God. It's going to be the greatest.
Didn't we look up the date of this? It's in early September.
Yeah,
they're going to go to Ole Miss. It is going. They may really have to get extra security in a way they've never had to get for anybody before, because the amount of stuff that they might want to throw.
They did when he went back to Knoxville, but that would.
September 19th,
they host
LSU. That is easily going to be the most primetime game possible.
It's arguably the biggest game of the college football season.
I don't even care if both teams are good or great or mediocre. Like, I have to have that on my television.
If you gave me a draft of like three games that I could watch for the upcoming year, it's one of them, and it's not even a debate.
Yeah.
Just to see the spectacle and how it all looks.
Well, because I don't know if we disagreed or not, because I can't recall all of the elements of our conversation. I just don't think we're ever going to see a coach do that again.
To bail on a team in the playoff run?
In the
that
middle
way?
Of this, yeah. Not the middle, but like at the tail end when you're about to go into the playoff with the team. A team, by the way, that I don't even know if Pete Golding's good. They got to the Final Four. His entire
They damn near
hope,
beat Miami in the semifinal game. They were competitive.
His entire hope at LSU is to get to a Final Four so he can fight for a national championship.
Yeah.
And he may never do it.
You might not
and
ever
he had
do
a
it.
Team to do it last year at the place that is racist.
Yes.
So I agree largely with you. It's utterly ridiculous to me. I'm not saying there's not validity to what he is pointing out.
Of course there is.
It's just simply like, dude, so you had no black players on your team at Ole Miss?
Right.
You couldn't bring in your transfer quarterback to come play and start at Ole Miss?
Right. Racism doesn't exist in Louisiana.
Where did DK Metcalf play football? Where's AJ Brown playing football? I'm not saying he's not right on the demographic part. I'm just simply pointing out, you left for $91 million effing dollars, dude.
We all know why you
just
left.
Just say it. That's the thing about him. You want to talk about trolls? Talk about the theme of the day in the show.
He's the ultimate
he's
troll.
He's
the ultimate troll. Because he would have been better served just coming out and owning the reality of,
yes,
LSU has a bigger budget, and I got $91 million. I had to do it.
Yep.
And just lean into it instead of like, you know, black players' families tell me all the time, oh, we can't do it. It's racist.
You're
there.
Almost trying to spin it and make yourself the victim. I had to do this. I had to get out of Ole Miss.
As if Louisiana isn't racist.
Right. And the part that bothers me the most, again, is going back to where Lane Kiffin's reputation was when they took a swing on him to be their head coach. Like, Lane Kiffin went to Alabama, won a national championship, was a brilliant offensive mind, and the only job that he could get out of that was where? What an amazing time. FAU.
FAU?
He didn't have Power 5 schools or Power 4 schools tripping over themselves. He was as toxic could be at that point of his career. He goes to FAU, has a little success, and Ole Miss goes, you know what, man? What the hell? Let's roll the dice on you. And they completely helped you fix your image. He went from being loathed and made fun of and mocked and hated to, damn, Lane Kiffin's kind of cool, man. He's doing hot yoga. Look at that. Lane became kind of a fun turnaround story in the college football
until
world.
Until he left, I liked
until
him
Until he left. And then he turns around and stabs him in the back, which, again, $91 million is $91 million. LSU is LSU. Anybody with a brain can understand it. We might not all make the same decision. We all get why you took the job. Mm-hmm. They've won national titles there. You don't win national titles at Ole Miss. But I know. The argument internally of why he would take it. This is absolutely ludicrous. Like, why would you have to pivot and then do this instead of just being honest and saying, you know why I left? I don't need any more than that.
There's nothing else that weekend other than a couple other SEC games.
Well, there's going to be a game or two that randomly becomes good because of the way the season unfolds. But yeah, to your point,
but
that's
most
the game.
Everything else is a non-conference.
That's week three,
tune-up.
Right?
Yeah. So Florida State's at Bama, Georgia's at Arkansas, Florida's at Auburn.
That's it. We didn't talk about it late last week. I think that's the week Oregon has their Friday night home game.
Yes.
The Portland State game is a Friday night home game. Yep. And that, thank God, that's the weekend of Ole Miss and LSU.
Could
no distractions that
it was
day,
like
man.
A 7 o'clock Portland State Saturday game.
Oregon State's hosting Montana.
We might lose.
Look, Oregon doesn't get kicked off the big screen ever in my house on a college football Saturday. That game, if it was simultaneously on, that would be a case where
that's
an
iPad game.
It would go to the iPad and the other game would be on.
And also, your sick ass would just go back Sunday, wake up at 4 a.m. just to rewatch the Oregon game and take every note. Did you see the fourth quarter?
Nah, Teddy ball games. I'll feed him this morning. I'll get up with him.
I'm on it.
Here we go.
You got Florida State, Bama, Georgia, Arkansas, Florida, Auburn.
That's it.
And that's kind of it.
I guess what I'm not surprised people will use any excuse. I'm more surprised, like, of all the people to just lean in and say, yeah, dude, it's the money.
Houston, Texas Tech could be a decent game.
I would have thought he'd be the guy to do it, and instead, and there's more to the article than just this. We are using basically the biggest viral quote. It's just a funny thing for me. Like, that? Really?
Come on, man.
Didn't hear a peep out of you while you were at Ole Miss about this.
You know, it's kind of hard to recruit here.
Did you advocate it all publicly as the coach? Hey, guys. Believe what you want to believe, I guess. Can we be less racist publicly? I have black players coming. Yeah. Did you ever do it once?
Nope. The only thing he advocated for was more money. You know what Ole Miss gave him?
More money.
More money.
Yeah.
That was it.
This guy's a phony.
This guy's a phony.
Big fat phony.
I can't wait for that game, dude.
Me too.
It's going to be ultimate can't miss TV.
Let's stick in college football, and then I got a baseball thing I want to get to. We got some NFL notes trickling out as well that we'll get to today, and I haven't even teased it yet. My God, it's the second hour. It is a
mail.
Yes, it is
Tuesday. So mail sack questions are welcome at 503-864-6326. Has this guy lost some of his power? It appears he has, and it's maybe for the best. Next on The Fan.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine, in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
We got a little baseball stuff to get to coming up in the old second hour of the radio program.
Had that ale taste last night, Swigart. Huh? It tastes sweet. Huh?
No, why did you do this?
sorry.
Why did you do
this? I retract that trash talk. I retract it. My team sucks.
I told you. Came in. I said, if you had today, I broke the seal today. Yeah. I've actually made it longer this season than I have the last couple. But I broke the seal today.
The seal was broken.
You watched a May 11th game, but not Game 7 of the World Series. I don't really want to hear from you today. I'm sorry. I can't do it.
Look, I was just as surprised watching that game last night. Wait, what? They got a hit? We got a hit!
They have a really funny celebration in the outfield for the Giants that I want you to tell people about in the next segment because I want to get to some baseball stuff.
All right, hold the baseball. We'll
hold
get to
the baseball stuff. 28-1 on us landing LeBronny.
Bring it on, dude. Phil, where you at, buddy?
I'm all
Nike
in.
Guy's been connected here, loves wearing Oregon gear. Bring your ass up. Let's
do
go.
Do he and Dame have a relationship of any?
Yeah.
They're close. I think they're friends.
When Dame was like in the height of his career, he was like famously quoted of like,
let's go Nike.
He kind of did the give me a Dame Lillard and I'll show you what he can do.
When the idea of him not going very far in the playoffs would come up, he would say, yeah, give me Dame and we'll go a long ways, buddy. We'll figure this out. I got to a finals with Matthew Dellavedova.
I think that guy thinks he could have won a championship with Dame the way he did with Kyrie. I think that's how much he respects what Dame is.
Look, it'll never happen for a million different reasons, but by golly, would it be badass if it
did. I would be all in. How many Blazer fans would buy the jersey, wear it, go to the game, root for him, that secretly are online like hating, you'll never be Jordan.
You spent your entire life.
You're never met the Magic.
Trolling him online.
But then you buy the jersey.
Sign my son. I would buy a jersey in a heartbeat if that happened.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Like, there's a handful of guys in the NBA if they ever wear a
Which one?
If they don't
change much. PDX carpet, LeBron.
No, God, no.
Ugh. All red LeBron.
Burn it. No, it's
white
Cincinnati.
LeBron.
I think the white one.
I think I would go white.
Yeah.
Because I have a black Dame.
I have a black Sabonis jersey.
I've lost all my old schools.
The whites and the blacks, you can't go wrong either way. I'm a big fan of the whites and the blacks.
According to Lane Kiffin, you can.
Well, it depends on if you're in Oxford or in
Baton
Rouge.
If you go too much whites.
Yeah.
I'm pro-white, I'm pro-black.
Done.
That's what we do right here.
You have to have equal rotation.
The anti-black, I will say, the Lakers wearing black and doing the black floor.
You need to be very careful with you just
people,
openly.
We're talking about jerseys. People know what we're doing
people
here.
People don't turn the radio
you
on.
Nobody
like,
turned it on in that split second. You were listening to the start of the segment. The Lakers doing the black keys and the black floors at Staples Center? Look, I hate that organization.
I don't even like the white Laker jerseys.
No, it's such a clean, the yellow and the
yellow,
the gold and
purple.
The purple. Like, what
and
are
that's
you doing?
It.
I like the white one.
I turn it. I mean, the white one's better than the black one.
I give you that.
Don't pull that. But last night, the floor. I just like, you have some of the most iconic jerseys in all of sports, and you are making your court. I get just,
why
what
is
are we doing?
The Swag and Sprague show all of a sudden?
What happened here? This is why I had to go work in Baton Rouge radio, man. You guys just can't handle me in Oxford, all right? I'm moving to Baton Rouge. Somebody give me $91 million.
I think the way you're trending, you'll be in Oxford.
Oh, it would be the opposite way. That's right. This is why I'm leaving Baton Rouge to go to Oxford, Mississippi.
It's not a Confederate flag. It's just striped.
It's Southern pride.
Striped with a similar color.
Dirt's in the Grove.
Careful,
buddy. I would fit in the Grove, though. I would. The Grove would be awesome. Tailgating at the Grove every day? Or every Saturday? That'd be so sweet. Tie on the bucket list to go to a game there.
Bow ties and seersucker suits?
I would not do the bow tie, though. You know my stance on bow ties.
I'm so uncomfortable that it's high on the bucket
list. I love that this makes you uncomfortable when you dropped the word orgy to start the 7 a.m. hour. How many people is an acceptable orgy came out of your mouth?
White, black, red,
but
purple.
But this one makes you uncomfortable.
We're all in on an orgy.
I'm squirming
my loose. Star Trek aliens in there.
You know what racism what is I not care? In the orgy. Doesn't matter. We're all in. Well. Turn the light off. All right. A lot to get to here in the second hour as it rolls on. Has Greg Sankey lost the Sankey power?
He might have.
I was reading an article yesterday, and he's like, he basically is keeping it open-ended by also saying he wants the 16-team playoff. They've done analytics to run, and they think 16's the number. But in a very unsanky way, also is like, but we'll have to continue to evaluate and, you know, get all the analysis that we can of what
he's
to really properly
he's
do.
He's in a tough spot. They thought they had it locked up for the 16-team. They thought he could convince everybody else to roll over on the Big Ten.
I think he's lost some of his sway, dude.
I think he's lost the control from his coaches. I don't think his coaches want this anymore. That's the problem.
Oh, you think they all want 24?
Dude, they absolutely do.
Yeah, for the reasons we talked about.
They are now starting this year. Look, tip the cap to them because they finally did it. They're playing 9 conference games, and they're the only conference that's mandating you have to play one of your non-conference games against a power opponent. They're the only ones in the sport that are now doing that.
Big Ten doesn't have that?
No, Indiana plays Old Dominion.
Right.
Indiana
That's
State
right.
and Bishop Sycamore in non-conference, and no, like it's just whatever. Mm. They won a national title, so you can do whatever you want, I guess. They're the only conference that says you get it's 10 power opponents, and then you can get two patsies at the end of it, or you know, sometimes at the beginning. That the coaches are making this argument because they are realizing how do you grade. This is the hardest part about college football when you have teams that play different schedules. How do you compare a 10-2 to an 8-4 or a 9-3?
Yeah.
But one team played one ranked team all year and they were 10-2, and the other one played 5 ranked teams during the season and they were 9-3. Like it's not you can't compare the two, and that's why I think so many coaches around the sport, especially in that conference, are saying, look. We don't have the ability to rise head and shoulders above everybody else in the SEC. Georgia's been good, but they're not dominating SEC play. Bama's a good program, but they haven't quite got it under control under DeBoer to get to that level. So you're looking at a couple of guaranteed L's every year. And if you got a 12-team or a 16-team playoff, you could very easily be on the outside looking in, and that's how you're judged as a coach. And so I think the conference initially wanted to do it, but now with their new revised scheduling, every single coach in the SEC wants a 24-team playoff.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I also, you know, I was reading this Q&A he did, and I find it very fascinating. Like, I feel like not even 2 years ago, this guy was the pseudo-runner of the entire sport.
Yeah.
And because I think, and I really do believe this, because you've had 3 straight Big Ten champions.
Petitti's got the Infinity Stone now, man.
Petitti does. You know who else does? To their credit, like, dude, Brett Yormark, he might not have the power conference of the power conferences. That dude don't F around. And he comes out, and then you got Jim Phillips that just latches on.
Yeah.
Dude, what are those fish that latch on to the bottom of a great white? The sucker fish that are just constantly swimming with them to get all the trail off food. That's Jim Phillips in the ACC. Basically, like, feed us.
Well, yeah,
nobody, just swim with you.
Nobody knows what the ACC stands for. Like, what's Jim Phillips feel about anything? I have no idea.
But Petitti and Yormark, I think, do a really good job of getting out, setting narratives, getting people on board with their thoughts. And Sankey goes from just 2 years ago feeling like he's basically the pseudo commissioner running the sport to. Yeah. Yeah, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. He even acknowledged in the Q&A that I read that people view him as a little bit of an enemy, that he's somebody that people kind of root against because he, for many years, it was when he talked, that was the gospel.
It dictated what was going to happen in the sport.
And no longer is that the case where these conferences are kind of pushing back against him and pushing back against the SEC a little bit and saying, the hell you will in this landscape, man. You guys are no longer reign supreme king. It doesn't mean you won't win the national championship with Texas or Georgia or whoever the hell it is, but it's basically like 3 straight years you haven't done it.
Nope.
And you've been knocked off the mantle because you no longer get to play by the secret McDonald's bag dropped in an apartment. Here's the cash handed.
Right.
We're living in the NIL world now.
Yep.
And the landscape has changed so much in such a short time that you're seeing the kind of the fallout of it is they no longer win the national championship easily anymore. It's other conferences in play giving them. The ACC was in the title game last year. The Big Ten's won 3 in a row. Big 12 has had a bye team there. So it's like, I don't know. I just found it interesting, his Q&A of like him kind of admitting without him saying it outright of, yeah, I'm not really running this sport as much as I once was because, yeah, other conferences have stepped up here and their commissioners have done an exceptional job.
To the victor go the spoils, man. And right now, if they end up with a 2014 playoff, which it seems like that's the road we're going down, it will be a big win in the power struggle for Tony Petitti over Greg Sankey. Now, I still don't know how I feel about 24. I'm more of a wait-and-see kind of guy. Like, I'm worried about some of the fallout or what it could potentially look like. But it seems like we're careening towards that, and the SEC fought against it very strongly for a long time. This has been the whole debate for the last year and a half. It's been the Big Ten wants this, and nobody else wants this. And if the Big Ten ends up getting what they want, it's a massive feather in the cap of Tony Petitti, man. And it's not just that they haven't won a national title in 3 years. You kind of alluded to it there. They haven't played for a national title in 3 years. 3 years ago was Michigan, Washington, Big Ten, Pac-12, now Big Ten, Big Ten. The next year was Ohio State, Notre Dame, Big Ten, Independent. And last year, to your point, it was Big Ten over the ACC. So it's not that they haven't
that
even won.
Crazy
they haven't
to hear.
Been to a national championship game in 3 years.
The Pac-12, which died and is now being resuscitated with, you know, slightly lesser teams than it once was, and Independent. Have been the national championship. SEC hasn't.
Yep. And the ACC, who we openly mock and had Virginia.
We openly make fun of
Virginia won their conference, and they sent a team to a national championship game. Like, and they beat an SEC team on the way there. So did Notre Dame 2 years ago.
Didn't Duke win the ACC?
Oh, was it Duke that beat Virginia?
I think Duke at 7-8-5.
That's right. It was Duke because we made the Manny Diaz won an ACC title.
At Duke, He's like, I don't know, man. Conference champions.
Duke played Virginia and they beat them. That's right. And they still put a team in the national title. So it's, I mean, the pressure's on them this year. If you get another, imagine 4 in a row for the Big Ten and 4 in a row with the SEC not even in the game. It would be wild to think about that.
I enjoy it, man. I eat a slice of humble pie, Sankey. I love that they haven't been reigning supreme.
Just
anymore.
The only tough part about that, though, is you know who all the power is going to go to then?
Petitti. Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Again, I think Yormark's doing a good job keeping narratives.
Yeah, you just only have so much. He's doing a good job staying relevant, but he's trying this private capital thing, and almost everybody in the conference. I don't know if anybody said yes. Did Utah say yes to it?
No, Utah did their own thing, remember?
But they were trying to do one basically available for the entire conference, and like 9 of the teams immediately came out. We're like, no, dude, we're not touching that money.
Let's get to some baseball stuff. Some interesting things happening in Major League Baseball. We got NFL to get to in the third hour and the mail sack ahead in the fourth hour. Get those questions in at 503-864-6326. Some baseball stuff is next. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 The Fan.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL Podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. We'll get to some NFL stuff. We got the mail sack to get to coming up in the final hour of the radio program, but I wanted to get to a little
Baseball stuff!
There's some baseball stuff out there, and I wanted to talk about it. A couple pre- and post-game things to get to before we talk about if the AL is truly the worst league we've ever seen in our lifetimes. Did you see in Houston in batting practice, Julio Rodriguez was taking BP, and a fan in Houston was constantly giving him crap and then basically was like, you can't hit that sign with a ball. I'll give you my sandals if you do.
Oh.
Julio hit the sign with the ball.
You got to take the guy's sandals.
And then walked over legitimately took his sandals
that's
from
right.
him.
That's right. If you're going to run your mouth.
Teach those fans a lesson.
That's right. You can't cash that check. You shouldn't have said it in the first place.
And then they won the game.
Now you got to walk home barefoot. Enjoy that the rest of the night.
So I saw that. I thought that was funny.
What do you do if you got to go home barefoot from a baseball game? That's brutal. Imagine going to the bathroom. Do they sell shoes? Like, are there like team shoes at a ballpark?
I don't know.
What about night slippers? Like Houston Astro night slippers?
Yeah, if there's a, you got to go check out the team store and see if you can find anything.
At least some socks.
Because you're screwed. Socks, yes.
He was barefoot.
I mean,
they were dirt sandals.
Do you go to the bathroom?
No, I know, but gross. I mean,
do you avoid the bathroom the rest of the night?
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
That means you can't drink anything.
No.
Oof.
Ruins your entire night.
What was that? You know,
oh, for just running your mouth during batting practice?
You're on a video, I guess. You went kind of viral for it.
You want to make fun of a guy striking out a game, whatever. That's fine. Batting practice against 75-mile-an-hour meatballs? What are you talking about?
So that happened yesterday pregame, and then you alerted your Giants are playing the Dodgers. This used to be a rivalry.
Suck it, Swigard.
It used to be a rivalry you cared about in that sport.
It used to matter. Now his team's unbeatable.
It
does. Mine sucks.
And, well, they're not unbeatable. Our teams are beating him pretty
well, that was one game. Give it time. We're going to lose the series.
You alerted me to something.
It's a four-gamer. We got a long ways to go.
Your outfield is doing now when they win?
Look, we've won so few games. I don't know if they do this after every win. Also, I didn't stay up to see the end of the game because it was like the seventh inning at like 9:35 because Dodgers can't start games on time. We had to start that game at like 8 p.m. So I went to bed with a 6-3 lead.
7:05.
And then I woke up and saw
easy, Ted Turner.
Easy. Yeah, why don't you get some sleep, all right, Swigard? And I woke up and I did not realize that I guess their outfield celebration is they all come together, hips touch each other. So we got just three guys. Imagine
three
all of
amigos.
Our all of our hips are touching.
Yeah,
and then they just pump. They pump into each other.
They key and peel pump.
They key and peel pump. Repetitively pumping.
Three pumps.
Three
four pumps.
It felt like an unlimited amount of pumps. They kept. They just. It was like a 10-second pump.
That's
you could. I mean, it's all over socials. If you want to go, go check out the humping and the pumping. They did it last night.
You like
after
that
the
better
win.
Than the Mariner infielders when they do the
Mariner infielder one's know. Pretty solid. The little leg kick
line,
the jig, if you will, or whatever it's called.
Oh my god, dude! They are.
I'm not kidding. They pump,
and they touch,
and they touch.
Yeah, that's
tips are touching.
You know what? Love is love, man.
Love is
love. No judgment here.
Hey, when you they had to have been as shocked as I was to realize that
they
beat the Dodgers in L.A. last night. We
probably
suck, man. We're terrible.
You're pretty terrible.
Like, wait, we won a game? All right, hump away, baby. Yeah.
Get you three of these with like a trailing off voice is what it is now. Get you three of these. It's not been good. How about this stat? The American League. Want to know how awful the American League is? I would like to know this because my team's not in the American League. So unless my team plays an American League team, unless it's the Mariners, I largely don't watch the American League.
Now,
okay?
Has there been an disproportionate amount of interleague games early in the season?
They have not. I don't believe
that's a good question.
Because there's always at least, because you have 15
You always
teams,
have a series.
You always have one series.
Yeah. My Bravos have only played the Mariners. Oh, no, they played the Angels, actually. They played the Angels and the Mariners.
Okay.
How about this stat? In the American League, to give you context, only four AL teams have a positive run differential. That stat just there
that
is wild.
That is so bad.
Rays,
here's
Yankees.
How it goes. The Yankees, plus 81.
We helped them a little bit in the opening series of the year with that.
The Rays, plus 19.
We helped them too.
That's second most, by the way.
Okay.
Tigers, plus 6.
Barely.
Mariners, plus 4. Here's added context to that stat.
That is so bad.
Two of those four teams have losing records, and that's the Mariners and the Tigers. And in the entire AL, only two other teams, the Athletics, a minus 10 run differential, and the Guardians, a minus 4, have winning records, each just one game over 500.
They are so bad.
The AL, outside of the Yankees and a red-hot Rays, the AL sucks.
It's not a serious.
It's like historically awful.
Not a serious league. And we should get rid of an AL Central champion going to the playoff. And potentially this year, the AL West.
Maybe
West
the AL West is awful.
Yes, the AL West.
Well, the A's like two games over 500
A's,
or something?
Technically, the A's are better than the Guardians. They're 21 and 19. The Guardians are only 22 and 21. And they only have, both divisions only have one team over 500.
Yeah.
Like, that's not real baseball. Go
home. Is the entire NL Central still over 500?
The entire, yes, they are. The entire NL Central is. The Reds are in last place at 22 and 19.
The Pittsburgh Pirates have a winning record.
22 and 19.
You want to know the standard deviation?
Tied for last place in the NL Central.
So this is based on wins per 162 games. This is standard deviation stat from Passan. In 2019, the AL was at 19. In 2020, 15.1. 2021, 13.5. 2022, 13.3. 2023, 14.9. And then 2024, 13.7. Last year, 9.7. Right now, it's projected to be 8.8. The AL sucks.
What are we doing here, man?
If you're a Mariner fan, though.
If you're a team of it, if you love the team in the division, you're great because you're not out of it.
54% is going to put you.
Dude, you put the Mariners in
you're hosting, baby.
Yes. You put them in the AL East. You put them in the NL East. You put them in the NL West. Like, you're a mile behind the team in first place. But instead, the A's are in first place in your division. And so you got a ton of hope left. And the same goes for the Central. Like, they're never going to do it because of the history and the tradition that's involved in it. It's the way the sport's always been run. And the fact that we now have more wild card teams, like, it lessens the need for it. The baseball divisions do bother me from time to time because I feel like for a long time, maybe I'm wrong here, maybe you guys will disagree with this, but...
Originally, it was just a scheduling mechanism.
Yes, to make it easier.
When you had to take trains.
But, like, I feel like the AL Central... And again, you're going to probably point to a team or a run and be like, well, don't you remember? Like, I feel like the AL Central's been this my entire life.
The Guardians are once in a blue moon get to a World
Series.
I'm
not saying they've all been terrible. Like, they've had good years or decent teams.
The Royals,
like,
yeah.
The Royals had their three-year run where they were relevant. Other than that, they were terrible.
The Tigers.
Tigers had a little flash in the pan moment, and then they fell off.
They're back now. Scooble, even though he's injured.
The White Sox. Ooh.
Outside 05.
Right?
Yeah.
The Twinkies can be a decent regular season team who can never win a game in the playoffs.
The Twinkies are, like, the AL Brewers.
I feel like the AL Central has been this my entire life.
Yeah.
At least in the AL West, you could say, well, they had that, like, 9-year run where Houston was in the ALCS every year. Yeah.
But what was the rest of the division?
No, the rest of the division wasn't very good.
It was trash.
Yeah, but that's kind of like the NL East right now, right? The Braves are good, and everybody else in the division's terrible. No, they're all going to fire their managers. They're all going to be gone.
For 15 years, that was the case in the NL East.
That was the NL East. At least you had one team that was good and a run that you could point to. You don't have that, I feel like, in the AL Central.
There. Yeah. I don't know. It's just it's interesting at this point, and it's May, right? But, like, it's just crazy how bad the entire league outside of 1.5 teams really are. Because I don't know how real the Rays are or not. They're on a win streak.
It's the Rays. They will always have that perception until they win a World Series. Yeah. They will always be there. Yeah, I mean, it's a nice little story, but
you know, Judge is on his way to being an MVP again.
Raleigh's not going to win it this year.
No.
That's not. Been a follow-up to the season last year so far. And I'm tooting my own horn a little bit, but I am generally excited. Cubs-Braves starts today.
Hey, there you go.
That's a fun, exciting top of the NL.
Division leaders, battle. NL East, NL Central.
Red Hot Cubs.
Yeah, it's a fun little series.
Braves playing for Bobby Cox. Here we go.
I won't watch a second of it, but good luck to you guys against
the
Cubbies.
I appreciate that.
I'm just going to try not lose three in a row to the Dodgers.
That's the goal.
Because it'll probably happen.
There you go. There's some baseball stuff for you. We'll dive back into some football, some NBA, and we got the mail sack in the fourth hour. Dirt and Sprague, Hour 3 on 105.1 The Fan.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.